she says she learned the hard way. Say she wanna spare the children. She say don't give a say your soul away, 'cause all that you have is your soul. So don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth, 'cause all that you have is your soul. I was a pretty young girl once. I had dreams, I had high hopes. Married a man who stole my heart away. Gave his love, but what a high price it paid. And all that you have is your soul. Don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. 'Cause all that you have is your soul. Why was I such a young fool? Thought I'd make history, making babies was the best I could do. Thought I made something could be mine forever. Another hard way when can't possess another. And all that you have is your soul. Don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. With all that you have is your soul. I thought I could find a way. Beat the system, make a deal and have no debts to pay. Take it all, I take it all, and run away. Leave myself first class and first rate. All that you have is your soul. So don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. 'Cause all that you have is your soul. Here I am, I'm waiting for a better day. Second chance, a little luck to come my way. Hope to dream, hope that I can sleep again. Awake in a world with a clear conscience and clean hands. 'Cause all that you have is your soul. Don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. 'Cause all that you have is your soul. Oh, my mama told me, 'cause she said she learned the hard way. Say she wanna spare the children. She say don't give a say your soul away, 'cause all that you have is your soul. All that you have. All that you have. All that you have.
And good morning, my friends. Y'all should listen to the wise words of Ms. Tracy Chapman there with All That You Have Is Your Soul, because you know what? She's absolutely right. When it all comes down to it, all that bling and stuff you know what? You can't take it with you, and that's not what life's about. But it is what our show is going to be all about this morning here on Positively Revolting Talk Radio.
That's right. Coming up shortly, we will be discussing affluenza with two of its authors. We hope to have...
Take two aspirin and call me in the morning.
We hope to have David Wan and also John DeGraff joining us shortly. Affluenza, of course, is the
Western disease.
Disease of consumerism. The disease of always needing more, yet always feeling empty.
More, more, more! And, you know, that really is, it is the primary disease that affects us all in America. In fact, most of the diseases that Americans die from, as opposed to, you know, car accidents and that kind of thing, are caused by excess of food, excess of alcohol, excess of drugs, excess of toxics, which, of course, is caused by the excess of stuff that we make and that we consume.
One could probably argue that the car accidents are probably caused by excess, too.
Yes, indeed. They often are an excess of, you know, cars.
Of course.
Excess of talking on cell phones, which are excess. Yes, I mean, you know, it's all about excess and... you know, our prescription for affluenza this morning, of course, is take two aspirin and call 232-8818. But that we'll get to that a little later. And, you know, this is the concept of affluenza has been around a while. Some of you may remember some years ago there was a PBS special about it. And then the folks who created the special received so much feedback and thought there was so much more to say that they decided that they wanted to write a book. And now they've actually come out with a second edition of book. Unfortunately, affluenza is proceeding apace, and there's ever more need to discuss it, and you know, and ever more need to resist it.
And in fact, we do have David with us on the phone now. I understand. Good morning, David.
Good morning. How are you?
Welcome to KBOO.
That's good. I heard the intro that you were talking about with the excess, and that's very, very relevant to the discussion, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that is actually a great place to start. So, David, thank you for joining us this morning. And about excess, looking at the American lifestyle, knowing that we are the, quote, richest nation in the world, the thing that struck me first and foremost about affluenza, there's in the very, very front of the book, there's a juxtaposition of pictures that really sort of says it all.
Oh, yes, and the people with their stuff.
Yeah, the people with their stuff pictures.
That's a great picture.
And
I wish we could show it to you.
I was going to say, there's nothing that really explains the topic more poignantly than looking at the juxtaposition of the Skeen family with their possessions in Perlin, Texas.
And they really don't have all that much, considering what many American families
have. Yeah, they're pretty modest. And the Yida family with their possessions in Harara, India.
Yes.
And maybe that's a good place to frame the discussion. David, what can you say about the needs that are perceived by Americans? Thinking, you know, we're living modest lifestyles, not, you know, just sort of going along to get along, sort of in the middle of America, rather than the folks that perceive themselves as keeping up with the Joneses. What can we say about the perceived needs of necessities of most Americans versus what the rest of the world might perceive they need?
Well, that is a good place to start, and I've been looking at that quite a bit for sort of a sequel book to Affluenza that I'm working on right now. It's about meeting needs directly, and whether we're in an affluent society or whether we're in a low-income society, we all have the same needs. Their needs for security, their needs for affection, their needs for connection to people, their needs for the physical, you know, the hunger and thirst and shelter and these kinds of things. But really, it's not about the amount of material or energy that we throw at these needs. It's more about how well the needs are met. And it's my sort of hypothesis that if we meet those basic needs, then we really aren't going to be looking about for much, much more. We'll be happy.
But obviously here in America, we have our material needs more than met. We all, even the poorest Americans often have more in terms of material goods than, you know, the poorest people in the third world. And yet, we're one of the unhappiest nations in the world.
Well, that's what a lot of people say. Certainly, Mother Teresa said that when she was here 8 or 10 years ago. You know that.
Yes.
We seem to be a society that's looking for meeting those needs, but it's almost like we're throwing things. We're standing in a waste pile, looking through things to see, is that going to meet the need? Is that going to meet it? And the way I look at needs and wants is that needs are a finite and able to be met commodity, whereas wants are infinite and they're insatiable. You never get to where you're satisfying all your wants. And so it's making us very uncomfortable and very anxious and sleepless and excuse me, everything else, you know, because we can't seem to meet those needs that really resonate and make us happy. I've been to a lot of cultures recently, Costa Rica, New Zealand, Vietnam, and I've seen smiles on people's faces, even if they're only making $100 or $300 a year.
Right. You know?
And it has to do with, is their family tightly knit? Do they feel part of a larger group? Do they understand that their own... Are they self-reliant, you know, rather than self-indulgent? I really think the self is important in the scheme of things, but it does come down to whether we're self-reliant or kind of just selfish.
Right, very much so. And you know, I think that another of the key aspects of understanding affluenza is that this didn't just happen in a vacuum, that somehow Americans didn't just mutate overnight and turn into, you know, greedy little monkeys who just want to have lots of shiny things. This was a deliberate effort on the part of many people who have put a great deal of energy and money into developing this desire in us for more and more and more. And yeah. I think that a lot of Americans really underestimate the power of the advertising industry. They think that they just naturally woke up one day and decided they had to have a BlackBerry or an Audi or whatever it is that they decide they have to have. But that doesn't just happen accidentally, does it?
No, it doesn't. And one good example is what's happened with the prescription drug industry in terms of sleeping pills.
Yes.
That I got the figures right here. About 30 million people in the U.S. routinely take sleep medications, and between 2004 and 2005, advertising expenditures went from 60 million to 300 million. They quintupled, and the advertising paid off because, you know, people are taking, you know, four and five times as many sleeping pills as we used to. And that, you know, that to me is a direct indication of dissatisfaction. If we can't sleep,
right?
What is it, you know, that's making us anxious and depressed and feeling like, you know, we need to hurry even in our sleep.
Right. It seems yes. like sleeping is one of the most natural human activities I can imagine.
Pretty much.
Right.
And yet, I'm one of the very few people I know that doesn't have any issue sleeping whenever I want to. In
that's
fact,
because you
often.
Never get enough sleep. But we'll go there.
You know, that's different.
Sometimes I do. I'm not saying, I'm not trying to say that I'm beyond prescription drugs, but... Certainly, we spend $270 billion for prescription drugs, and about yeah. half of the diseases that we're trying to treat are preventable. So it really comes down to a lifestyle thing. Affluenza is not about rich and poor. It's about the American lifestyle in general, or the Western lifestyle in general, that really tries to meet these needs in ways that are dysfunctional and cast off so much waste and so much neglect and abuse and fraud and pollution, you know, And so I really think if we begin to look, what are we trying to do as a culture? But to go back to something you just said a second ago, and that is that the advertising is really indoctrinating us. We have the most powerful tool or weapon, you know, that a person could imagine, and that's the media. The television and movie world really do. We're a storytelling species, and our stories now have become these stories that are largely about power and materialism. And so that's where we kind of take our cue. But when you think about it, this industrial machine, this industrial revolution that started 200 and 300 years ago, that was born in a period where there was not many people and a whole lot of material resources available. Now we have just the opposite situation.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of people, more than 6 billion, and the richness of our resources are becoming more and more diluted. We have to go further and further to get them. There's a lot of talk about peak oil, for example. Well,
right.
It takes energy to get energy, and if we have to go way up to the Arctic Circle to get our energy, it's going to cost a lot of energy to get it. So our economic system was born in a time of material abundance. Now we find that what we really need to do is invent a culture that's more about cultural abundance. And this has been done before. Japan did it back in the 18th century. They reinvented their culture because they sort of ran out of the wood and coal and so forth that they needed.
Right.
So they then started to invent the tea ceremony and martial arts and all these incredible ways of having a rich culture.
Right, right.
Well, and I think that that's obviously something that you know, we're going to have to do because we just can't continue on the arc that we're on indefinitely without a big crash.
Well,
that's
it's
true.
It's not sustainable, yeah.
No.
I sat down with one of the foremost environmental analysts of our time, Lester Brown, who's has worked with the World Watch Institute and now the Earth Policy Institute,
uh-huh.
about a week ago, and his opening, in asking him questions, his opening statement was that is the economy inside the environment, or is the environment inside the economy? And I think we look at, you know, the environment as just something that we manipulate inside our economy.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, as Lester Brown points out, it's just the opposite.
Right.
That our economy really is just one small little box inside this huge, magnificent environment. And like you said, we're going to reach an end point. The environment not only can't offer up very rich supplies of resources anymore, but it also can't absorb our waste. So that, I mean, that's the most tangible, that's the hardest brick wall that we have. That our environmental system is starting to throw tantrums now, hurricanes and flooding and so forth. It's an indicator that we're out of balance and that we're really trying to ask more out of the earth than it can supply. So our economy really has to come back into balance with that environment, or all bets are off.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. It reminds me of the old Earth First bumper sticker.
Nature Bats Last.
Nature Bats
yes.
Last.
Right, yeah.
We have, at this moment, a chance to invite our listeners to join and sustain this community that is KABU. David, if you can just hang on for a couple minutes here while we entice some listeners to call 503-232-8818.
It's the cure for affluenza.
It sure is.
It's
give
at
us
least
a call.
Yeah.
It's the first step.
It's just amazing listening to this conversation because it just so ties into what we want to talk to everybody about, and that is about how to sustain community. And one way to sustain community is to support KABU, listener-sponsored radio. And by doing that, you can make your first step of calling 503-232-8818. Or if you're outside the immediate calling area, 1-877-500-KBOO, which is toll-free. And I'm here with Aileen, and I'm Grace, and we are here to talk to you about why it is so important to support radio.
And it's actually an exciting time. Grace and I went out of our ways to schedule ourselves to be here on Ani and Melody's program because we have fun when we come down on Ani and Melody's program. And
oh,
we,
no kidding.
you know, do you get your Friday morning started with Ani and Melody? I do.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of my favorite stories to tell, so I'll tell it again. But I used to work at a temp job, and I used to drive my car there, even though I'm the host of the KABU Bike Show. When I first moved to town, I had this little car that I would drive out to my temp job out in East Portland, and I got out there one day, and I was listening to Ani and Melody's program, and I was running late for work, and I just sat in my car, and I listened, and I listened, and I thought, I'm already so late. But I couldn't turn off the radio. And those are the moments that we're producing here at KABU. These are real people. Ani and Melody are great. I know a lot of you listeners out there have gotten to know them over the years. Or maybe you feel like you know them just by listening to them. They have this personality about them and this way of bringing information out over the airways. It's very accessible, very welcoming, and very open. And we do that here at KABU in a way that is just not being done elsewhere on the radio dial.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, really, how many networks or how many commercial radio stations are going to have an interview with someone who wrote a book about affluenza?
Yeah.
You know, the illness of overconsumption. I mean, please. You know, this is KABU because, you know, the thing is that I think what the author was saying is so right. You know, it's like when you have a culture and you have a community, then we don't need all those outside trappings. You know, we don't need all that stuff to weigh us down. So if you really believe that and really believe in the power of community and the power of community radio and KBOO, then please give us a call at 503-232-8818 and let us know that you really appreciate this kind of programming. If you live out in Hood River or down in Corvallis or in Salem, call us at 1-877-500-KBOO.
And we know a lot of you out there may not, you know, you're not millionaires. You don't have tons of money to give out to charitable organizations. But that's not what we're asking for. We're asking for you to contribute at a level that's comfortable for you. And even if you don't have $60 today, perhaps you know that you'll have it spread out over a few months. You can do a monthly deduction from your checking account. That's an automatic payment method. Our phone answers can tell you all about it. A lot of the people who are contributors to KBOO do it. I do it. It's a very easy way to spread your contribution out. And at that $60 level, you would get a copy of Affluenza. It's a special thank you gift that we only have available this morning. And I want you to call in at 503-232-8818 and make that happen.
And ask a phone answerer that you say tell the phone answerer you would like the book Affluenza, the All-Consuming Epidemic, and they will and we will get it off in the mail to you in a few weeks.
That's
but
right.
For $60 or $5 a month, a great deal. You know, the other thing we have, other options, we can do a credit card, we can do cash, you can come down here. We will do anything. We're pretty easy.
Yeah, if you don't have the money right now, that's fine. If you do and you just want to get the payment over with, that's fine too.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal this morning is $2,400, which is gigantic, but that's because we know the listeners of Positively Revolting Talk Radio value this programming, and we want to hear from you this morning. Coming up in our next break, we're going to have a special offer for you, and we're going to be talking about some more payment options, but we are going to right now try and get as many calls in as we can so that we can go back to the interview.
Call now. Call now, 503-232-8818.
And Ani and Melody get up early, and they come down here,
yes,
and they put a lot of heart and soul into the program. I mean, you guys
I get up a lot earlier than Ani.
I was going to say, I think it's natural for Melody to get up early, but I make an effort every week.
I'm the one who's here early. She's the one who skates in at like 7:29
and a half.
Well, no, I think you guys get a special award though for this early morning thing.
Yeah.
Every week.
Well, you know.
Well, hey, other people have done it longer than we have.
Well, I know. I know. Everyone who does an early morning thing gets a special award, I think.
Like, what about Kurt, who's on before us?
Oh, Kurt. I mean, the guy should be getting it. He should have a plaque.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
what we want to say here one last time is, in fact, you need to call us, 503-232-8818.
Yes, you do.
You want to really try to reach that goal of $2,400 this morning. The reason for that, of course, is 85% of KBOO's money comes directly
from you,
our listener. We don't have any major foundations. We don't have any commercials.
We don't sell toothpaste and, you know, whatever.
We are here beholden to the community to operate in your interest. And so with that, 503-232-8818, support what you value. Please make this community stronger with your presence in it. We are Positively Revolting Talk Radio. I'm Ani. I'm here with Melody.
And we're here with David as well.
And we also have John DeGroff joining us.
Welcome, John.
Oh, thank you. Good to be on the show.
And one of the other authors of Affluenza. And it is 8:01 in the morning. You are listening to KBOO FM Portland, your very own community radio station.
And, of course, it really is one of the cures for affluenza to contribute to KBOO, not just because we want your money, but because that creates meaningful community, which is, of course, one of the points of affluenza is that, if I may put words in the author's mouth, that one of the reasons why we are suffering from this epidemic of consumption is because we have this big empty hole inside of ourselves we're trying to fill with things, and of course it's never full.
Let's ask the authors about that.
Yes, indeed. What do you have to say about that, John?
So why are we so sick?
Oh gosh, you know, I think it's
good question, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very complex question, and if one wants to go back to first causes, I suppose we aren't really satisfying our more important needs very well for community, for decent family life, for all of those things. But the overall facts around affluenza, I think, are complex. Certainly, we're simply bombarded all the time with messages telling us the good life is the goods life, and I think the amount of this kind of messaging in the United States is really bigger than anywhere else, and we've been getting this kind of social engineering, which is really what it is, when uh-huh. advertisers go in and look and mm-hmm. try to figure out how you use psychologists to try to figure out your deepest fears and anxieties and all these kinds of things, and then turn them into demands for products. That really is social engineering on a grand scale. We always get all upset when somebody else, we used to say the communists were social engineering and they were brainwashing and they were doing these kinds of things. But
we're certainly doing it too.
We've been social engineers in a big, big way and much more successful than they were.
Well, and a lot of people have said through the years that the fact that America's a nation of immigrants and we've all, many of us left our culture behind, aren't familiar with it, and that that's one of the reasons why we suffer from these problems is because we're rootless and cultureless. We don't know our history. And what do you think of that?
Well, some go so far to say that we may be genetically predisposed to this sort of thing because the people who came over here were the ones who that seemed to matter the least to. Certainly, Peter Weibrow in his book American Mania makes that overall argument that, as a nation of immigrants, as a people who were willing to leave community, family, and everything else behind to come here with the goal of wealth being central, although many Americans came for things like religious freedom, but an awful lot just came to make it big. We do have a population that's probably specially tuned to these messages.
Well, Australia was populated originally by criminals, so, they seem to have done all right with themselves. I'm not sure I buy that argument.
Well, Australia is the other country in the world that's probably the most like us in terms of behavior, and it is in Australia where another book with the same title, Affluenza, is currently a very popular book and has come out recently. So if there's any country like the United States in these issues, it's probably Australia.
But, John, don't you think that the idea that this gene that invited people to leave their culture and go and look for something else is also partially about risk takers and adventure people with an adventuresome mindset, and that both being young cultures, Australia and the U.S., I see us as both being very adolescent cultures, and that maybe this this gene that Weibrow was talking about also has a lot of potential for having us create something. You know, that maybe there's an upside to this potential gene that we share.
Hmm.
I'm sorry, I can't hear Dave at all.
Oh, you can't hear him?
No.
Yeah.
I'm coming across so well to you.
I'm sorry, we kind of had the vagaries of our airboard, I think, that I don't think we can make him any louder for you.
Uh-oh.
I can hear John. But I'm thinking that that the adolescent nature of our culture really is in many ways very hopeful. That right now we're sort of refusing to take responsibility. We're sort of looking at the public sector, for example, as being something that we don't have to worry about right now. We just stay in our houses and consume. And it's quite comical to me that the U.S. Census calls the American house a consumer unit.
Whoa.
That's the way we're classified as being a consumer unit. And like you were saying in your pitch there a few minutes ago, the public sector is really has become secondary to us.
Uh-huh.
And yet a place like Portland is full of public wealth. The light rail and the citizen involvement, the urban growth boundaries, these are all things that show that your community is looking outside just the consumer unit.
The consumer unit. Well, another thing that really strikes me is that a lot of people don't know is that well over half of the trained psychologists in this country are employed in the advertising industry.
And that's actually where I wanted to take our conversation next. In your book, Affluenza, you talk about the really almost predatory, I won't even say almost, the predatory nature of advertising and marketing on children especially. And you have this chapter, Kids as Cattle, where you talk about marketers using this language of capturing, owning, and branding children so that they can have these audiences for their products. Can we talk about that for a little while?
Sure. I and I think it is predatory, and it's really quite shocking. I mean, the marketers talk very openly about what they call pester power. You can imagine what that is. It's getting or the nag factor. They have lots of terms for people. So if there are parents out there listening, you should know that in the language of marketers aiming to sell to children, you are not parents, you are gatekeepers.
That's right.
And the whole idea is to get the lock that opens the gate and gets to your kids' money and gets through you and gets you to part with your money so that it goes to them. And the idea then is to create techniques that will get the kids to bother you to such a degree that you will give in. So there's pester power, which includes what's called the nag factor, and they go so far as to do studies, focus groups, all kinds of studies with kids in which they actually can estimate the number of nags it takes to make a parent give in. Yeah, it's really truly. They also focus on things like creating ads which will make parents appear to be idiots, basically fools, which will encourage rude and aggressive behavior among children as rebellion in order to get products. It's one of the people in the Affluenza film says, you know, antisocial behavior in pursuit of a product is a good thing. This is a marketer speaking. They really believe this.
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons I realized when I was in high school that I had a real gift for advertising. I had a real gift for writing jingles and copy and all that sort of thing. And I made a conscious decision at the age of 16 that I didn't want to make my living selling toothpaste and being on Madison Avenue. But, you know, in a funny kind of way.
Think of all the money you're giving up.
Yeah, my career came around. I ended up being in advertising anyway in sort of a backwards way. But, you know, I think that the people who, I wonder how these people can live with themselves, who create these really destructive ad campaigns that are based in people's self-hatred and motivating their deepest fears. I guess they think that they're really hip and edgy, but I think that they're really morally reprehensible. And you have to wonder about a culture that allows its economy and its whole society be driven by these people with no morals who are just doing it for the money. It's really kind of appalling. I mean, if you were from outer space watching all this, what would you think?
Well, I personally couldn't agree with you more. And one hears from many of these people that they never let their own children watch this kind of stuff. They certainly don't let their children, in many cases, play the kind of violent games and other things
that
they themselves are advertising. So.
I have real issues with that, and certainly, and you know, when it comes to parenting, it's practically impossible to raise a child to be a functioning person in society unless you teach them very early to be incredibly skeptical of what they see in the media. You know, to sit them down and say, look, see how they're trying to brainwash, they're trying to sell you something, they're trying to make you want this, and look how that doll doesn't really do all those things, that plane doesn't really fly unless it's on TV. And you know, you have to really teach them to be cynical at an early age, which in and of itself is a hard thing.
Is wrong.
Yeah. But it's the only way to inoculate them to any degree against this stuff.
Well, and speaking of inoculations, that is
the epidemic,
that's another important section of your book, Affluenza. And that is, you know, I think many of our listeners understand the problems. We see the symptoms of affluenza around us. We see the impact it has on our communities, on our families, and on our own lives as we feel empty, as we feel hollow, you know. And we chase something to give us meaning outside of ourselves, we realize that doesn't really work very well. But I am also very happy to see in your book we actually get to look at what can help, what can make the situation better. And that's something I want to make sure that we have time to talk about here before...
Yes.
Before we have to let you go, because I know you're also very involved with a movement called Take Back Your Time.
That's true. I'm the national coordinator of the Take Back Your Time campaign, which is looking at one of the, I think, the major prices that we as Americans pay for the consuming lifestyle, which is more and more overwork. We could have really traded some of our tremendous gains in productivity, more than a doubling of hourly productivity, for instance, since the late 1960s. We could have traded a good portion of that for more time to to live our lives for some vacation time, which Americans don't get, all of these kind of things.
But civic involvement, volunteering.
Yeah, all of those things, to take care of our health, to take care of the environment, to be good stewards. But in fact, we put everything into the same barrel, which was to produce and consume more. I always have to point out and make the caveat, though, that we didn't all get either. There are many, many Americans, increasing numbers of Americans, who get neither one. They're working long hours and struggling to make ends meet. So we've become so much a two-class society that when we talk about affluenza and over-consuming, we have to understand that there are really millions of Americans who may be able to buy the electronic gadgets and some of these kind of things that have become cheaper and cheaper, and even the clothes, but who are having horrible troubles taking care of the basics like health care,
right,
and housing and those kind of things. So this is a complex issue. We don't want to oversimplify it. But again, our priorities are out of whack and we're out of balance. I think that's what we're really saying.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree with you more. It is a very complex issue, and it is something that I think really needs to be in the public discourse. You know, because that's the only way we can really get a handle on what complex issues there are involved in this. There's a mentioning, I know we let David go because of a really poor phone connection that we had with him.
Oh, okay.
So just to let you know, John, you
maybe
are now.
Maybe that's why I wasn't hearing him.
Yeah, we weren't hearing him all that well either. So that was unfortunate.
He slipped the hook and swam away into the deep pool.
But there is a mention in the book about the complexity of the issue, and I believe it was David that was doing this part of the writing. I'm not sure, but the complexity of the issue of going out backpacking, looking at the trees, feeling the refreshment of the trees, knowing that this was a really deep connection he was having with himself, with his son, and then sort of looking at the perspective of the logger in the same area that he was on Vancouver Island, and after the experience, reflecting back on it and realizing that he uses more than the average amount of paper being a writer, and that the logger also is wanting to be with his son and have quality places. And so I really think not oversimplifying is key, because
yeah,
it just sort of makes good guys bad guys. And
that's right, and we have to walk a mile in the shoes of the other people. We don't want to point fingers, and we know that everyone's situation is different. Nonetheless, as a society as a whole, I would say we really have made the wrong choice in the last 30 some years, in that we have just traded all of our remarkable gains in worker productivity for the goal of more stuff. Our goals are our gains in other areas. For instance, we certainly have increased automobile fuel efficiency in those years. But what we've done, I mean, we certainly any car now can travel farther on less fuel than the same size car could have done then. But instead of keeping our cars the same size or making them smaller, using them less, and taking advantage of these gains in fuel efficiency, what we've done is just added to the horsepower and the size of the cars.
Nice.
So we've just used it all up, so that now the average car is 25% heavier than it was in 1980. And
that's
if it gets and it gets maybe the same average mileage as it did in 1980, but that could have been a savings.
Yes.
That could have been 25% savings in fuel that would have impacted our resource use, our adventures overseas, and global warming and everything.
Right. Well, you know, this is that time, John, again, that we want to ask our listeners to become active members of this community, see themselves as belonging, and actually support a platform that really encourages and tries to inspire this kind of conversation about the directions we are taking with our lives and how we can personally empower ourselves to take back our time, take back our lives, and really own our community. So
start down the road to
if you
wellness.
Can just hang out for a few minutes.
You bet.
We'll be right back with you. And we have with us Grace and Aileen this morning. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning.
How can we save ourselves from this horrible epidemic of unconnectedness and affluenza and you know, just like feeling, you know, like without information and without entertainment?
Well, one way to do that, the obvious answer, of course, is to join KPU.
Hey,
and how do you do
idea.
That? And how do you do that? We call 503-232-8818, or if you're outside the Portland immediate calling area, 1-877-500-5266.
And if someone calls up and like makes their pledge to become a member of KBOO, can they get a copy of this affluenza book?
Absolutely. For a $60 minimum contribution, we have copies of the book available. We only have about 9 available, and they are only available during this program. And this is a great opportunity, folks. So we have copies of Affluenza, the all-consuming epidemic, available. Also, now is the time to double your money. Now, I know
Woo-hoo!
It sounds too good to be true, but every contribution that you call in during this program,
I'm gonna double my money,
up to a total of $1,000, is going to be matched by an anonymous KBOO member.
Awesome.
And there are only about 40 minutes left in the program to make your gift count twice. So call us at 503-232-8818. Again, it's a chance to double your money. If you thought, I can really only give X number of dollars, I can really only give $20 this membership drive, well, that's going to be doubled to $40, and boom, you're a member of KBOO.
And if you can give $120, well, it'll be doubled to $240.
And think about that. Think about how, I mean, that's a lot of money, folks. And how many opportunities do you have? It's somebody else saying, I want to help everybody else make their dollars go further to support KBOO. We need your support this morning.
Yes, we do.
You know, John, I think it was John who was talking about the whole values of stories, you know, and he was talking about in terms of, you know, commercialism and all that. But we have the KBOO story, and everyone who's a member or a volunteer of KBOO has a story about how they got involved at KBOO.
Boy, can we tell you stories.
Yeah, and, you know, like, I know for me, I listened for many, many years, and then I finally picked up the phone one time during Pledge Drive, and, you know, and then I started coming down to the station and started volunteering a lot, and, you know, it's just, it really makes a difference when you make that call. You really do have a sense of ownership, you have a pride, you have, you know, really the sense that you really do belong to this great community. And it's true, you do. It isn't just a sense, it's absolutely true.
It really is. Do call and support that community, 503-232-8818. Just like Aileen said, there is a matching gift,
yes,
period, right?
Yeah. Which is awesome.
So please give generously. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for those of you who have an hourly wage, think about giving us an hour, how much you make in an hour every month. You know, if you gave $120, you can give it $10 a month, which is a really paltry amount. That's a lot of people's service charges on their bank account cost that much. And, you know, if you make $10 an hour, if you could give us $10 a month, that would be fabulous. Most people work about 160 hours a week if they work full-time. That's like, that's nothing. You know, think about where you put
160 hours a week.
A month, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, that's me during Pledge Drive.
Yes.
But, I mean, you know, to give 1 hour of your 160, you know, that's really, I think that would be a very generous gift, but, you know, it shouldn't be hard for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Please consider giving us, you know, so much a month if you can. And if you can, like, as Aileen said, you know, we have a low-income membership. It's $20. Our regular membership is $40. But if you give $60, you get a copy of that wonderful book, Affluenza. So call now, 503-232-8818.
We have had some calls already this morning, and all the people who called this morning from Portland, we have Kimberly, Mike, Lori, and Karen. But I want to hear from some other areas, too. I want to hear from Oregon City and Camas. Those are great places. And, you know, and I heard someone saying earlier today that when you live in the outlying areas, you need KBOO.
Yes.
And it is so true. We all need KBOO. But please call us right now and make that pledge, 503-232-8818. Or if you live out in Corvallis, 1-877-500-KBOO. You know, I also, can we thank right now the restaurants?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, we've got restaurants. And restaurants donate food for all of our hungry volunteers who come in and just put hours and hours in. And I want to thank Cup and Saucer at 3566 Southeast Hawthorne, Huber's at 411 Southwest Avenue, right off of Stark.
Turkey, baby.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And Pazzo Restaurant at 627 Southwest Washington. Washington. Thank you so much. And these are all restaurants that have come every time we have a membership drive. They come through and help us out, and they believe in the value of community too. So
and so many of you come through and help us out as well.
And what's incredible about it to me is that those restaurants are finding the way that works for them to make a contribution. Maybe they can't give KBOO $1,000, but they can give us breakfast for the volunteers. Maybe you don't have 3 hours a week to come down and volunteer, but maybe you have a little bit of extra cash that you can donate to the station. Everybody is contributing at their own level in a way that makes sense for them to keep this community radio station going and to keep the station growing. I know I personally, I come down once a month. I do my show. I put time into it, but I don't have the time to be down here all the time. But then on top of that, I like to give a financial contribution because it's important to me to ensure that the station can continue to grow. And when you give to KBOO, that's really what you're doing. We're not going away, but we've seen a lot of other stations really hit hard times when they haven't been able to raise funds from their listeners. That's why this is an important time where you can help us stay here, and you can help us stand up to the norm and say, you know what, we don't believe what you're saying, so we're going to tell the truth. Or we don't believe that it's a good idea to water everything down. And we believe that our listeners are intelligent. And we're going to get that information out there. We're going to celebrate the people that live in our community. We're going to celebrate the diversity of cultures. And we're going to bring you some really awesome music. Now, we do that in a way that's very unique, and we do that with listener support. You can't do that kind of thing when you have to rely on advertising dollars. So give us a call this morning at 503-232-8818. Get a copy of this book, and we'll be back. We know we do have this goal of $2,400.
Yes, we do.
So we'll be back to check in, see how close we are to that goal, and see how close we are to getting that matching pledge.
Yeah, we have 36 more minutes for the matching pledge.
Yes,
so
remember, every penny you give will be doubled in the next 36 minutes. So please call now, 503-232-8818. Make us all happy.
Thank you, Aileen. Thank you, Grace.
Thank
we'll
you very
check
much.
Back with you.
And thanks, John, for being so patient.
Oh, no problem.
And we do want to invite our listeners to call in with their comments, their questions, and to actually dialogue this morning with you. And that's 503-231-8187, a different number you can call.
All these numbers.
And if you are somebody who calls 231-8187 and voices your opinions or asks your questions on a regular basis, I sure do hope you've called that other number, too.
That's right.
And financially supported this resource. Our independence is entirely possible because of our listeners.
Right. Got to put your money where your ears and your mouth are.
So, John, thank you so much again for being with us this morning.
It's my pleasure.
And for folks that have tuned in late, we are talking with John DeGraff. He is one of the authors of Affluenza, the All-Consuming Epidemic, now in its second edition, as it says in bright lettering on the cover, new and improved.
New and improved, more pages.
And you know, John, I wanted to say...
It weighs more.
I wanted to say that, yes, it does.
10% more?
It's new and improved, and it's as seen on TV, even.
As
you know, I think it's so important that, you know, that a lot... I think we've sort of glossed over the fact that you are... the guru of taking back your time. And I think that's so important because, you know, I, for many, 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 many years, I can't remember the last time I worked full time, I've always worked part time because my life is important to me and all that you have is your soul, as Tracy Chapman says. But I'm just amazed at how many people, they would rather have more money and more stuff instead of time. But it's like, if you don't have any time to enjoy it, what's the point?
But
That is true of many people, but there are many, many more who really would like to work less, even if it means a little bit less salary. And they're the ones who can do that. And I think it's great that you are able to. And there are many, many more people probably can than think they can. They just are even afraid to ask or to,
yes.
to. But one of the fears that many people have, and it's a genuine fear, is that if I don't want to put in the full hours, the long hours, that my employer will simply say, well, I'll just find somebody else who will. And, you know, you may be able to afford to lose a little salary, but losing all your benefits, losing your job completely, that's another story.
Well,
losing your health insurance.
I've made a lot of sacrifices to do this, and I don't have health insurance, and I'm extremely poor. But to me, it's worth it. I mean, you only get one life. This isn't a dress rehearsal.
And yet, those aren't good choices to have to make.
No, they're not.
There are other
ways. And we shouldn't have to make such drastic choices. I admire you for making the choice that, that you have made. I made that choice for a long time after being a parent. Health insurance has become more important, things
right.
like that. But
yes.
but not just for, I mean, as a concern for my son. But
right.
But I think many Americans aren't ready to go that far, but they do. They would make a step in the right direction. They don't want to just consume and produce. They want it to take. And if they lived in a country like the Netherlands or even Great Britain or Germany, and in, probably very soon in the entire European Union, they could make that choice. Mm-hmm. The law says in Holland, where it started, that you can tell your employer, "I would like to work fewer hours," and you get paid for fewer hours, but you keep your same hourly rate of pay, your benefits are prorated, and you keep your health insurance.
Well, health insurance is through the government there, though, isn't it?
It is through the government.
Yes.
Employers pay a portion of
right.
health insurance, but they don't pay by per employee the
mm-hmm.
way we do. They pay for the total hours worked, so it doesn't change the situation for an employer. There's no incentive in
right.
those countries for employers to hire fewer people and make them work longer and longer hours in order to get out of health care payments.
Well, of course,
right.
there is here, and I know there are a number of people, and I have to say I can't necessarily disagree with them, who think that the whole make people work for less and slave so they don't have any time for anything else is deliberate on the part of the quote-unquote powers that be, because a overworked, crazy, busy, stressed out populace is a lot easier to control. And there, you know, there's many people who think that. Whether or not that's true, it's certainly been the effect, even if it wasn't.
It has been. I agree it has been the effect. I suspect that the cause has more to do with just the unlimited, unrestricted market here and the push to make more and more money. I think that has a lot more to do with why it's done. But the effect, you're absolutely right, is that we have less time to understand the issues, to be politically active, to be active in our communities. I often say when I'm giving talks that had Americans been working the same number of hours each year as the French do, we might have had the time to ask the same questions about our
yes.
our plunge into Iraq that the French asked, and
yes.
that the French therefore
right.
did.
We might have the time to actually spend some time with our kids. It amazes me that so many parents hardly talk to their children. They have no time.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, although if you look at the numbers and the statistics, that and most parents are still spending as much time with their children as they were. What the it isn't hard. One of the things, though, that has changed is that the type of time
mm-hmm.
parents spend with kids is very different today. Right, that's right. Driving around, being chauffeurs and spectators in children's lives as children are pushed into more and more activities as parenting becomes, as one person put it, product development.
Right.
You have to make your
yes.
kid be able to get in the best school and this sort of thing. But parents are still devoting time to their kids. What they aren't devoting time to in many ways is reflection, the community, the politics, their health, other kinds of things. Those are really taking a bite.
Well, we do have a caller
yes,
that
do.
Has joined us on the air this morning. We'd love to hear from them. Good morning. You are on the air.
Hello, caller.
Yes. Hello. This affluenza, I think, has a long history, and one of them goes back to a story of Washington Irving, you know, that wrote about the tale of Sleepy Hollow and so forth back in the 1820s.
Uh-huh.
He has a story of going up the river from New Orleans, and you go by the Cajun settlements, so the story goes, and the people are sitting under the oak tree. They are playing the banjo or their
time.
Musical instrument and singing. And you come to an American little town, and there are 15 banks. Everybody is in a frenzy of property speculation. And then, of course, you can remember the old Yankee peddler and the carpetbagger, and where did they come from? This is way before lots of immigration and so forth. So we have a long history of some of our priorities and how we use our time.
Well, actually, it wasn't really before a lot of immigration, because remember, we are a country of immigrants.
But it was
before
that huge wave. Yeah.
Sure. Immigration hadn't really started.
Yes. Well, the caller is absolutely right. There is. We have a long tradition of not only the affluenza, but also the scrambling, working long, never having time. Even de Tocqueville talks about that in his travels across America, just how much more frantic Americans tended to be.
Yeah, that's okay. We just the caller had hung up, and that's okay now.
Oh, okay.
Continue, please. Sorry about that.
Is there any way to get rid of that? It's really loud.
Is it still doing it to you?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's just really loud.
Engineer, our guest is still hearing the busy signal in his ear. Is that better now?
Is that better?
Sorry
good.
About that. Good.
our phone patch is having a couple of ambiguities.
I really could almost not hear the other caller. I heard him slightly better than I heard Dave Wan. But
right. Perhaps it's suffering from its own version of affluenza. Who knows?
Maybe you just need, if you just had more expensive technology and you had more affluenza than it was.
That's really kind of true. That's another thing is that, technology, once you start using it, it sort of takes a hold of you. Once you purchase a computer, for example, you always need a bigger one with more memory.
And
it doesn't have the right hookups anymore, and it won't have the right normal software. Everybody else is using this software, and you have to get new software and a new computer. And it sucks you in, and it carries you along, and eventually you just get chewed up and spit out if you don't keep up with it.
Absolutely. And then look at the results. I just had the opportunity to see a film called The Digital Dump a few days ago about, what happens to our computers that are supposedly recycled but are sent to these developing countries like China and Nigeria and the phenomenal amounts of pollution and waste and things that are,
and
are coming from
it. Sure, based, to the people who are actually taking them apart. Eventually they'll come down with all kinds of illnesses.
Oh, yeah. Well, and of course they take part of them apart, and they use part of them, and then they throw the rest on waste piles, which they burn, putting tremendous chemical into the air to the people who live around there, which are normally slum, areas. People are very poor anyway, and so we people get victimized. And
but it's away, so most of us don't care or think about it.
Yeah, it's over there. We get the benefit of the computers. They get the waste and the disease. And
well, and actually, you talk about something like that in Affluenza, the book, about the unseen costs of products we use, products we buy, such as the hamburger, your basic wedding ring. I think, to me, raising the awareness of the hidden waste or the hidden costs of our consumerism is one of the keys to sort of getting people to go, oh, wait, this is not okay, this is not right.
Well, I hope so. I tend to think that people probably initially respond most to this situation thinking about issues like what it's doing to their families and the stress in their lives and so forth. But I think if they think about it, they'll see that this also is having tremendous hidden effects for people all over the world, which are really, really awful. And certainly we're seeing this in those places that that we dump on with this stuff, but we're seeing it in a big way affecting all of us, of course, with the phenomenon of global warming, which is finally, I think, being really given the media attention that it deserves because it is so important an issue. I don't know if people have seen the cover of Time magazine. I don't know if that one's still on the stores, but I think it is. It said, be worried, be very, very worried. And it looks, it makes the argument, Time magazine does, with no punches pulled, that global warming is far worse than even its strongest proponents. I mean, the people who were saying it was coming predicted 10, 15, 20 years ago.
It's happening much more quickly.
It's happening more quickly. It's more destructive.
There's now no more sea ice in the Arctic, which is a serious
tremendous impacts. And we've waited now through a president who says, we need more studies and all of this stuff. We've waited longer and longer to do anything about it, and therefore the consequences for our children and grandchildren are going to be worse.
Let's go ahead and squeeze in another caller here. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thanks for a great discussion and for your passion, John. To me, affluenza represents a blindness, a preference of having over being.
Yeah, I'm sorry, sir, if you could speak up really loudly. I don't know what's up with our phone system this morning, but we're having a hard time hearing you, and I'm sure John can't hear you at all.
I can't hear anything at all.
Right.
Well, possessions seem to possess us, that we put having above being, as Eric Frome warned. I wanted to recommend the video Time Frenzy.
Time Frenzy. The man, the caller, John, is recommending a video named Time Frenzy.
I'm very familiar with the film done by a fellow in San Jose, and it looks at the Silicon Valley kind of craziness and actually compares that with Tuscany in Italy, and just shows, you know, what our frantic life is doing to us. It's an excellent film.
And I wish that we had a little more time to talk about a lot of those resources. I know there's some excellent websites and good films out there to really look at how we're prioritizing our social capital, as it were, how we're spending our resources and our time.
How the direction of our society is being carved out by these market forces.
One resource that you actually list in the book, and I believe it's also on the Take Back Your Time website, is the website to sort of look at your personal resource footprint. And there's a little quiz to see sort of how many resources you take. In affluenza, you note that if all people lived like average Americans with a 30-acre footprint, we would need 5 more planets. And you refer people to a quiz at the Redefining Progress website, and that is www.myfootprint.org.
Right. And people can go to that, and it's far from perfect. It's a pretty simple one test, which is not terribly subtle, but it is a good way to just get a broad idea of what your impact is.
It's right.
Far from perfect, but it does give people. I think most people when they take that little test, and it doesn't take very long to take it, are absolutely shocked at what it takes to produce their lifestyle.
Well, John, we only have a few more minutes with you. I wanted to really focus on what we can do right now to really safeguard ourselves, our communities, our families, to make the world a more quality-based place instead of quantity-based place once again.
How do we recover, and how do we vaccinate ourselves against further damage?
Well, we are going to have, there may be this coming fall, a national affluenza vaccination campaign that a group called the Simplicity Forum, which I am on the steering committee of, is planning to try to do, to kind of be partially humorous, because we think that we have to be not doom and gloom and grim about this. We have to make it so that there's an appeal and that there's humor in it. And also, I think we always have to argue that we're not talking here about a self-deprivation movement or about sacrifice, that the real sacrifices are going on today, that we are giving up our health, we're giving up our time, we're giving up our families and our communities to pursue this mad dream of the grossest domestic product in the world and all the time. So now is the time that we're sacrificing. We encourage people to do a number of things. I mean, do a check. Spend a week or a month just totaling everything that you spend and ask the question, which of these expenses was really worth it to me? How much did I have to work to pay for these things? How much did I use them? Yeah. Where were they produced? That's always a good start for people. Get together with other people. Join a simplicity circle. Join one of the study groups offered by the terrific organization in Portland, the Northwest Earth Institute, which is now nationwide, but really started with these great folks, Dick and Jean Roy in Portland, really helping people learn how to simplify and do a better job with things. So there are many of those things that can be done. And then we certainly hope people will stay in tune with the Take Back Your Time movement. TimeDay.org is our website, because we're also trying to create a Time to Care national campaign in the 2006 elections that will focus on our need for things like vacation time and family leave and the opportunity to work part-time and keep our benefits, and to code those into law the way they are law in all of these Western European countries. So people can do it at the personal level, cultural level, and the political level. And then we don't tell people don't shop at all. I mean, that's not the point. There's some folks who are doing
it. And it's not really
that
feasible. No.
There's some folks who are trying to do that for a year, and more power to them. But we're about balance. But one of the other things I always want to say is when you do shop, try to shop with a conscience.
Yeah.
And I have a new film which I like to promote because there will be a Portland screening of it on May 4th at the Hollywood Theater. And it's
right
called
up.
Buyer Be Fair, not Buyer Beware, but Buyer Be Fair, about the growing fair trade movement.
Excellent.
And certified products movement. Certified timber and fair trade coffee is what we focus on. And by doing that, by shopping conscientiously and buying things that are sustainably produced with justice in mind, we can also make a big contribution.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for everything you do and everything you continue to do, and for writing this book.
Thank you.
And for being our guest this morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know that Melody and I have often wanted to have you on before, so I'm really glad we had this opportunity.
Yes, indeed.
So, the pleasure is mine. By the way, I'm going from this interview, I should mention, to one with Russian national television.
Interesting.
Because Affluenza just was released in Russian, in Russia just in the past few weeks. And so they're doing a big story.
Excellent.
About me and about the consumer movement in the United States. All over the world, people are really talking about these issues.
Excellent. John DeGraff, thank you so much for your work, and go out and spread that word.
Yes,
thank
indeed.
You. And best of luck with your fund drive and with
Thank
everything
you.
That you do.
Thank you
very much.
Okay.
Truly in the spirit of positive revolution. But you know what? Before we go talk to Grace and Aileen one more time, I want to let you all know what is coming
Check
up today.
Check it out.
News and Public Affairs Day. And starting at 9, we have all kinds of things happening. At 9, there will be a mini special on issues related to peak oil, beginning with an interview with writer Michael Clare, who's the author of Blood and Oil, The Dangers and Consequences of America's Growing Dependency on Imported Petroleum. At 10, a Portland talk by Richard Heinberg, author of Power Down, Options for a Post-Carbon World. At 11 on Democracy Now!, guest is Noam Chomsky, professor of linguistics at MIT, and one of the foremost critics of U.S. foreign policy. He's just released a new book titled Failed States, The Abuse of Power and the Assault on Democracy. And then at 12:30, a tribute to American hero Cesar Chavez with an excerpt of a speech he gave in Portland in 1974 from our archives. At 1, a series of talks including Kathy Kelly on Iraq, Michael Lerner on the Left Hand of God, taking back our country from the religious right, and James Kunstler on the end of oil and the long emergency. The KBOO News will be at 5, and at 6, it's Bread and Roses, and at 7, hear a recent Portland talk by John Perkins, author of Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And now, out to Grace and Aileen.
Okay, so where else are you going to hear all that great programming, jam-packed into one day? I'm really excited about that Cesar Chavez talk from 1974 from the KBOO archives.
Wow.
Folks, this is incredible stuff that we're able to bring you. And in order to maintain those archives and bring you these voices from the past and the present voices that are speaking in a revolutionary way, we need your support.
Yes, we do.
At 503-232-8818.
Double your money. Call now.
In the next 15 minutes, we need to make $2,110.
We can do it.
Here's double the money thing. We can definitely do that. But you need to call us right now, 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-KBOO if you're outside of the immediate calling area.
Five people call and make a $120 pledge, and it'll be double. That would take care of it. You can do that. Come on.
That's awesome. You know, we also have only 5 books of the Affluenza books left. So you need to call right now and get one of those books. And you can have one of those books for a $60 minimum pledge. You call in with the $60 minimum pledge, your money will be doubled.
Yes, it will.
And that will be the equivalent of $120.
And that's
so,
the way to go. You know, why give any other time when if you give right now, between now and 9 o'clock, your money will go twice as far, and you'll be able to make twice the contribution thanks to an anonymous anonymous donor that you ordinarily would to cable. Right.
503-232-9 before 9 o'clock.
8818.
And I hear the phones ringing, which is really great.
Yes.
You know, when you were just reading off the list of what's happening today, I detect a theme.
Yeah, you think you
know?
So?
Yeah, I think so. It's my sharp analytical processes.
Yes,
the synapses went boom, boom, boom. And, you know, and the thing is that, you know, we are, this whole community thing is just so important, you know, especially in this day of, you know, diminishing oil, diminishing, you know, affluenza, the fact that, you know, our consumption is really starting to catch up with us.
And it's time for us to turn that around and, you know, increase the joy and the connection and the meaning in our lives. You know, a lot of people do shop. You know, we've all heard the term retail therapy. Well, retail therapy is a short-term fix only. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as it fades away, then you need another fix, and that's just not the answer. One of the answers is to call 503-232-8818. Yes, it certainly is. My own mother suffers from a severe case of it.
Mine as
and
well.
It's not a joke. You know, people laugh about being a shopaholic, but it's a serious problem.
Yeah, it is.
It causes a lot of pain.
503-232-8818. The door to this community where we can actually come together, build relationship, build authentic relationship, find some meaning in doing good work, and inform and inspire public dialogue on important social issues. That's why you tune into KABU, and that's why you need to support this medium with your money. 503-232-8818.
Now, the lines right now are all full, which is a wonderful thing.
Awesome.
So if you call and the line is busy, just call back, which is great, because we really do need to make our goal today. Make Ani and Melody happy. You know, it's like, you know how it is when they don't make their goal. It's like you can't live with them.
It's not pretty.
It's not pretty around here. So you have to do that. Just for the love of the volunteers here, please do that. 503-232-8818.
Folks who have called in this morning already.
We can hardly hear you, Aileen.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Can you bring it up? There.
The other one.
Yeah.
Dean from Evelyn called in, and also David from Milwaukee. And we want
to
thank both of those folks for calling in this morning at 503-232-8818. And if you are outside the Portland metro calling area, it's toll free at 1-877-500-5266.
It's
folks,
so
now
important
is the time to
call.
Join. You know, we have about 10 minutes left
we can
to
do
double
it.
Your dollars with this amazing contribution that an anonymous KABU listener has made. That means your money's going to be doubled in the next 10 minutes. This is the time to call in. If you've been thinking about making a call to KABU but you haven't been sure, now is the time
and
to do it.
We have a huge goal, and we can do it with your help. 503-232-8818. Be generous. Call now.
And we need new members, too. You know, part of this thing, it's not just about the money. It's also about members and really building our base and really building a huge community that can really support KABU.
And getting you involved. This is how we all got started. We used to be just like you, sitting out there on the sofa or at our desk at work going, I don't really have any money. I can't call. But we did finally call, and we were all really glad we did. And look where we all ended up. You know, we're all sucked into the vacuum of KABU. It's really fun in here. We're having a really good time. And you're missing out.
Yeah, it's really great fun to be a part of this community here. And, you know, the thing is, it's so easy. We have an electronic funds transfer. And so if you called in right now and made a pledge for, say, $120, that's only $10 a month, which is a really reasonable price. If you're working, and even, you know, even if you're just working at some little job, you know, like making $9 or $10 an hour, you can afford $10 a month.
You know,
it's so
call
easy.
Now. 503-232-8818. The witch commands you to call now. 503-232-8818. Otherwise, we will turn you into a newt.
Suddenly the witch gets Germanic. I don't understand.
We've got three open lines now.
Open lines, folks. I had a friend who once called in. She was in between jobs, and she grew up in the area. She knew KABU from the time she was a little girl, and she had never contributed to the station. And then we were housemates. And then I was able to talk her into it. And, you know, she did an automatic payment for $10 a month. She was in between jobs. She was not flush with money. And at the end of that year, I asked her about it. I'm like, so what was that like, your year with KABU? And she said, you know, it was fine. I didn't even notice it. And that's how it is with those monthly deductions. It's just an easy way to work KABU into your life. And folks, at any dollar amount, you can make a contribution that's going to support KABU. But I really want folks to think about that $120 level.
Yes, that's a great thing.
Because this morning that's going to be $240 if you call in the next 6 minutes.
That's right.
And if you could make a $15 or $20 a month donation, that's really not a lot for people who have a good job. It's hardly anything. We could make great use of it. If you've ever been down here, you know that we're not exactly big spenders.
We know how to
squeeze
a dollar.
Yes, we do. 503-232-8818. Get that money in and get it doubled. Call now.
Absolutely. 503-232-8818.
Light up those phones.
Did you know that you can also go online at www.kboo.fm?
Yes, we can.
Click on the Join Now button, and you can join that way, and you can get some special online thank you gifts.
But if you call now for a $60 pledge, you can get a copy of this wonderful book, Affluenza. It's a great read. It would make a great gift for someone who maybe, is sort of like needs a little bit of getting up to speed on the subject. It's very accessible. It's fun book. It's not heavy duty at all. It's really a great book.
A great deal.
Yeah, I think the authors really did focus on making the information shareable. It's not like you sit down and you go, wow, things are bad,
digestible.
But it sort of leads you through how to also get things better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, one of the things, I'm someone who's, really been aware of this issue for a whole long time and has tried to live life accordingly to sort of simplifying things. I'm not a big consumerist. I like eating out. Okay, there it is. That's where all my money goes. I like eating out. But other than that,
not consuming so much.
That's consuming.
Not consuming
kind of
product.
Literally.
Well,
but yeah, okay.
You gotta eat.
But, anyways, that aside, what I'm trying to say here is when I was reading this book, it was a time where I was like trying to settle into my house and I have too many books to fit in my bookshelves. Books are my big weakness in life. And I was thinking, oh gosh, it's time for me to go out and buy new bookshelves because I really don't want books in boxes anymore. And I want to,
give away some of the books.
And I was reading this book and there is a little subchapter on how the more you have, the more you need to take care of what you have.
That's right.
And how there's a spiraling cycle. And so, in fact, I ended up not spending $100 on new bookcases, but giving away boxes of books. And that was just sort of one of those things that this book helped me clarify personally, because the information is sort of, it's not judgmental. It's not, it's just represented like these are the choices you're making right now with your life,
your money.
Yes. And it's such an important thing to realize that we do make these choices daily when we choose where to spend our resources. Mm-hmm. And it's so important right now to share those resources with KABU.
503-232-8818. Call before 9 o'clock. Your money will be doubled. We have a huge goal. We're counting on you, our listeners. And I know that you won't regret it. Everybody who calls and joins, becomes part of the family, and every time you listen
to KABU, feel better.
You'll know, hey, I partly own that radio station. I'm one of the owners of KABU. It's a really good feeling. 503-232-8818. 1-877-500-KBOO.
How many lines are open?
Lines are open. We
need
three lines open right now.
503-232-8818. Double your money. Get the book. Hey, come on down. We'll give you a hug. We'll give you a tour. We'll give you some coffee. What more do you want?
That's right. If you come down to 20 Southeast 8th to pay your pledge in person after you call 503-232-8818, you can pick up a coffee mug. We still have about 20 of those left.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. KABU coffee mug.
Very lovely.
Feel free to come down and meet the folks that make radio happen every day. See how your money is spent and see what you can do to really jump on into this community.
And some of the folks who have been making radio happen in their own special financial ways this morning, we have Corey, Jeffrey, and Richard from Portland, and also Helen from Aloha. All of them have called in. They've had their money doubled. They called 503-232-8818, and they joined us this morning as KABU members.
And so far, we've made about $510 toward our matching $1,000 match. So call now and really use that match. This is incredibly generous offer. So call us right now, 503-232-8818.
Come on, you can do it. We have a huge goal, and you don't want to see us weeping on the sidewalk.
Oh, it's sad. It's a sad
nobody site. Called to help us make our goal. Come on, you can do it.
But let's give the phone number one more time slowly without talking over each other. 503-232-8818. 8818. It is really important. I know it's like that number to me, it's like tattooed on the back of my eyelids. I will never forget it in my whole life. But for folks that may not listen 24 hours a day, you know, that number slowly one more time, 503-232-8818. Call it right now. If you live outside the Portland area, call toll free 1-877-500-KBOO.
And go ahead and keep calling if it's after, just slightly after 9 o'clock. That's okay. You can continue to take your calls, and they'll still count towards the show the first few minutes after 9. 503-232-8818. Everybody down here is counting on you to do your part. Only about 1 in 10 people who listen to us, we have about 75,000 listeners, only about 1 in 10 of them are become members, and, you know, we're counting on you to break that mold. Be one of those 1 in 10. Make it more than 1 in 10. I know we can count on you. 503-232-8818.
Folks, we only have a few minutes left. We do have most of our phone lines full. If you call and you can't get through, call right back. Our phone answers are volunteers, and they're working hard this morning to process all those calls. But we still are trying to get to our goal, and we're not quite there yet, folks. We need to hear from you this morning. We need about $500 more in the next few minutes here, and we can do it. Ani and Melody do a great program, and I know you appreciate it, because most of you are calling in and voicing your opinions on the air. It's an incredible opportunity that they offer you here on Positively Revolting Talk Radio, and we need to hear from you in the next couple minutes at 503-232-8818, and then you can sit back for the rest of the day, enjoy this awesome day of news and public affairs programming, and know that you are part of the reason that we are bringing you this programming. It feels really great to become a member of KBOO.
And if
it
you've
really
ever
does.
Called into one of the talk shows and you're not a member, guess what? You know what you need to do right now. 503-232-8818.
You know, we're having a little party atmosphere down
yes,
here.
We are.
There's just like lots of people. We're getting ready for shift change. It's kind of a fun atmosphere. We've got some nice food.
We'd love to see you here.
Yes, indeed.
Down,
come on down. Meet the witches. Meet everybody.
It's a great day outside. Come on by and say hi. We'd love to see you. It's a lot of fun. Then you can even sign up and help with phone answering
right.
if you'd like. You know,
have
that's
a cup
lot
of coffee.
Fun.
And we wouldn't do this if we didn't need to. It's a lot of work to come on the air and ask for your support. That's why we only do it twice a year. But when we do it, we get really excited because this is the time when we all come together to celebrate KBOO and say, hey, look, this is who we are. We're a real station. We need money. This is how we operate. And, folks, just join us this morning at 503-232-8818 and help us continue to bring you the awesome programming you hear throughout the year.
Has KBOO been a lifeline to you? And, you know, have you ever felt like, I'm the only one? I'm the only one that feels like this. I'm the only one that thinks. And then you can tune into KBOO and you go, oh, my God, my opinion is validated. There are others I could talk to. There are others.
Or have you ever been, like, you know, moved to tears or joy or shrieks of happiness?
Or
listening
moved to action?
Listening to our musical programs or called up your friends and said, oh, my
shrieks
God, turn on KBOO. There's just such wonderful stuff on right now. Then you know what you need to do. Call now, 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266.
You know, we have about $600 to go toward our goal. So we would love to hear from you. We're still in the matching period. We're running a little over, but we do need to make that goal. Call now. You won't be too late. 503-232-8818.
503-232-8818.
I do want to thank Carol of Portland and Emily of Portland. Thank you so much
for
joining or renewing. I don't know if you're new or renewing, but either way, you're great.
You're
thank
great.
You.
We love you. We
you're
love
awesome.
You.
Call now.
Well, Ani and Melody, you guys do an awesome program, and Grace and I have loved being here this morning. And
we love you, too.
It's been great to see the phone lines lit up like crazy. Folks, that doesn't mean you're off the hook. We still need to hear
from
more
of you
at 503-232-8818. Join us at KBOO this morning. Become a part of Ani and Melody's program.
Come down and watch our exercising engineer do semaphores in the air room.
And also, just another, we have, you've got some out-of-town folks. We've got Donna from Carson, Zachary from Hillsboro, and Lauren from Bush Prairie. Brush Prairie. Okay.
We know where Brush Prairie.
Typo.
Well, thank you so much for calling.
Yes,
and
thank
join
you, everyone.
Do keep those lines
keep them
lit
up. Keep them coming.
We do need to hear from you. 503-232-8818.
Keep calling.
And now we move onwards with our news and public affairs day. This is one of my favorite days of the drive. I just have to say, I've had such a damn good time at our community radio station. Last night, I was here for the P-Funk Party special. That was like the best time you could possibly have on the planet. Today, News and Public Affairs Day, as the community gathers to increase our knowledge and dialogue. And now, tomorrow, we have the Grateful Dead Marathon.
On April Fool's Day.
We gotta love KABU. Where else can you get it? See you soon.
Good morning. You're tuned to KBOO Portland 90.7, and it's News and Public Affairs Day with special programming all day from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. First, we'll hear a mini special on issues related to peak oil, beginning with an interview with writer Michael Clare, author of Blood and Oil: The Dangers and Consequences of America's Growing Dependency on Imported Petroleum. At 10, we'll feature a recent Portland talk by Richard Heinberg, author of Power Down, Options for a Post-Carbon World. At 11, on Democracy Now!, the guest is Noam Chomsky, professor of linguistics at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and one of the foremost critics of U.S. foreign policy. Professor Chomsky has just released a new book titled Failed States: The Abuse of Power and the Assault on Democracy. At 12:30, a tribute to American hero Cesar Chavez with an excerpt of a speech he gave in Portland in 1974 from the KABU archives. At 1, hear a series of talks including Kathy Kelly on Iraq, Michael Lerner on The Left Hand of God, Taking Back Our Country from the Religious Right, and James Kunstler on The End of Oil and the Long Emergency. At 5, it's the KABU Evening News. At 6, Bread and Roses. And at 7, hear a recent Portland talk by John Perkins, author of Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Now, Per Fogring is here to speak with Michael Clare, author of Blood and Oil: The Dangers and Consequences of America's Growing Dependency on Imported Petroleum. Michael Clare will be speaking on oil, water, and global security as part of the 2006 ILAHI Lecture Series. The lecture will be held on April 21st at 7:30 in the First Congregational Church in Portland.